So last week we started a new series. New month, new series, right? And what's the title of the series, guys? Working from Your Rest. And why is that important that you guys have that memorized? Because that's the principle of the series. That's it right there. So God has given us good work to do, right? And that good work is that he's given us is actually like the purpose of our lives. And so last week, I talked a bit about work and tried to give you a kind of a theology, biblical theology of work, right? And but God also wants us to delight in our lives and through our work, delight in him. And there's this rhythm to life that he's designed and he's given us. And the sooner we learn that rhythm, the better for us. And so we want to talk and help you begin to learn how to work from your rest, not work to try to get to rest, but actually work from your rest. And so tonight we're going to talk a bit about that rhythm. And I've asked Pastor Josh, other Pastor Josh, to come and share with us on this theme of Sabbath tonight. Josh, the most important thing you need to know about Josh isn't that he's a pastor or that he's a pastor of spiritual formation, which I really like. That's cool. He was formerly a worship pastor, but he was like, no, spiritual formation's cooler. And, right? Isn't that what you told me? Yeah, that's verbatim, right? It isn't that he's married or that he's a dad to three kids, but the coolest information about Josh is that he lives in my neighborhood. There you go. That's all you need to know. Good introduction? There you go.
Yeah. Awesome. Thank you. Thank you. Well, it's great to be with you guys. James invited me to talk about Sabbath, which is this fancy biblical word for rest. Do any of you actually, are you familiar with Sabbath? Yes? Who knows, who would say they don't know what Sabbath is? Okay, so 24 hours of rest at a point in the week. Yes? Yes. My journey with Sabbath's been pretty significant over the last 6 years as our family figured it out. we got to a point where we were going hard all the time. And Jesus kind of met us in a moment and was like, no, you actually need to find this place to be able to stop, to be able to rest, to be able to delight and worship. And so that began a journey for us. Because for most people, they think that, oh, Sabbath is this Old Testament thing that Jesus kept getting in trouble about, and we don't need Sabbath anymore because that's Old Testament and Jesus is New Testament. But the reality is that Jesus was still living into this rhythm of working and being with people and spending all his energy and then stopping to rest. He was actually showing people a new way to rest. So I want to be able to introduce us to what that looks like. And first, it starts in Exodus 20, verses 9 to 11. So this is in the Ten Commandments, and so this is where you get old school, Old Testament, and the first three commandments are about how you love God, and the back seven are how you love others, really, if you break down the Ten Commandments, and in there is Sabbath, and it says this, "Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but on the seventh day is the Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy." And we go to this knowing just how full rest is supposed to be. It's actually supposed to be a full stop. And if you look at the verse, it's yes for you, but it's also for your family. It's for your neighbors. It's this, when they're talking about male and female servants, they're talking about people in your household, people in your community, even talking about your animals and people who are foreign to you. They're strangers. The Sabbath is supposed to be this thing that blesses you. So throughout the Old Testament, they built these structures about what was work and what wasn't, and what you were allowed to do and what you weren't allowed to do. And we find ourselves looking at Jesus as he was trying to figure out a new way forward for people. And Sabbath is one of the things that he kept getting critiqued for. So we open our Bibles to Luke 6. And it's this moment where Jesus has been followed now by the religious teachers who were experts in the Old Testament that had created this system of like figuring out, okay, how do we make sure that we don't rest so that we can keep it holy? And Luke 6 says this. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and his disciples began to pick some heads of grain, rub them in their hands, and eat the kernels. Some of the Pharisees asked, "Why are you doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" Because even this like simple act of grabbing wheat and rubbing it in your hands, they determined that that was work. They determined that that was harvesting, because it was the act of turning grain into food. But Jesus says this, he answers them, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He entered into the house of God, and taking the consecrated bread, he ate what is lawful only for a priest to eat. And he also gave some of his companions, some of it to his companions. Then Jesus said, 'The Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath.'" And it goes on to continue to tell another story. After that Sabbath story, there's another Sabbath story about how Jesus got in trouble. And he points out not only that we exist in Sabbath to experience the goodness of God, but also to bring new life. He goes and heals someone, restoring their withered hand that they couldn't use. And so what are we supposed to learn from this moment? Well, first, we realize that Jesus is observing the Sabbath. He's not saying, "Don't do it." He's saying, "Hey, join me in what I'm going to do here. I'm going to bring goodness in. I'm going to bring wholeness. I'm going to restore what has been lost. I'm not going to worry about what has been legal and what is built up in the law, but actually bring you into a place of faith and a place of hope and a place of love." All of this is with the Old Testament, and Jesus is actually pointing, and I'm going to skip a slide here, is pointing to the very beginning, to Genesis 1. And the idea that as God is creating the earth, he has been the one to work for 6 days. And then we find him speaking to humanity on the sixth day, pointing them towards what will come on the seventh. So Genesis 1, verses 27 to Genesis 2:2 says this. "So God created mankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female. And God blessed them and said, 'Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground.' Then God said, 'I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth and all the birds in the sky and all the creatures that move along on the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food.' And it was so. God saw all that he'd made, and it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. On the seventh day, he rested from all his work. And then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he'd done." So after that huge long list of what humanity's supposed to do, he says, "Stop and rest with me." This is what I love about James as he's bringing this series to you. It's this point of, it's from your rest, then you will work. God has laid it out with this nice big long list. And he says, to the human that he's created, you've got a ton of work that you're going to end up having to do. But first, stop and rest with me. Humanity hasn't lifted a single finger. They haven't done any work. They're not exhausted yet. And he says, stop. Will you just sit with me? Will you put yourself in a place where you can rest, where you can delight, where you can worship with me of all that is good? And I think this is that place where, as you figure out what you are purposed for, what you're being called to do, you need to remind yourself that first, before you get to the big long list, you are created in the image of God to simply be. Because we need to be able to simply find ourselves at a place where we can be with God, and we don't have to find ourselves in our identity, our purpose in what we do. And I realize how difficult that can be as you're sitting here thinking about the end of the semester and everything that you have to do, and you have to complete, and you have to execute, and you have to work with other people, and you have to figure out how it works on their schedule. If you're doing group assignments, or you have to figure out how to make the deadlines. But I would encourage you, as you step into this call to rest, to just find yourself where you can just be for a second. And we'll get further down the road. I'll take any questions that you have. I would love to be able to create a dialogue around this. But you don't have to jump into 24 hours of rest right off the bat. Just, I would encourage you to find a moment, even if it's just half an hour, to carve out to just be. Whether it's sitting out in a courtyard in the sun, enjoying some time, or you can carve out more than that. You can figure out how to find an evening. But just pause to be. Ruth Haley Barton, who writes a lot about spiritual disciplines and rhythms, says, Sabbath keeping helps us to live within our limits. Because on Sabbath, we allow ourselves to be the creature in the presence of the Creator. We touch something more real in ourselves and others than what any of us is able to produce. We touch our very being in God. And about 7 years ago, I was exhausted. And I needed to be able to find myself in a place where I could experience God again. 7 years ago, we had really little kids. They were like 5, 3, and 1. And 6 years ago. There we go. I'm getting my math right. everything was hard. We pushed through 7 days a week. And on one night, I just found myself sitting there with my wife going, something has to change. Like we worked nonstop. There was always a reason to be out. There was always an invitation to go somewhere. There was always an opportunity to make the most of it. But we sat down and we needed to be able to find a place to be able to stop. So we began our journey towards what it would be to work from our rest. And it's not easy. It's not easy to pursue. We actually made a few enemies in the midst of it all because we had friends who were inviting us out. And when we decided to stop, we actually decided to stop and not do anything else. We needed to scale everything back in order to figure out what we could say yes to. Because you know there's those people in your life that when you want to be able to just take a moment, they're going to take the moment from you, right? It's not going to be a life-giving experience if you spend time with them because they're going to suck all the energy out of you. So we started to try things out to see what would work for Sabbath because I'm a pastor. I work on Sundays. So Sunday was not going to be a day of rest. I saw lots of friends who were like, oh, Sunday's amazing. I go to church and then we brunch and then we do this and then we do that. And it was great for them. But I was exhausted coming out of Sunday morning, especially being a worship pastor. I just found myself completely done by the time I got to it. So we started our Sabbath experience on Friday nights. And we tried to figure out what was going to mark that day. And then we went from Friday night and we started off with the full 24 hours to just like go right into it. So Friday supper until Saturday supper. And just as I was leaving, my son, who was busy playing Lego in the room, he's like, "Dad, where are you going?" And I said, "Oh, I'm going to go talk to some people about Sabbath. What should I tell them?" And he simply said, "It's all about the dessert." because that's that Sabbath feast that we start with, that's actually what kicked it off. It was just a time of feasting. It was where like the kids got an extra big piece of brownie, or they got to pick out their own ice cream flavor, and we just started from this place of celebration. We connected the whole stop with delight. Just a point where we could just be full of joy. My wife would make this Jewish, like honey sweetened bread, challah bread, and she'd weave it and it was amazing. And then as we figured it out and COVID hit, I was one of those people who got sucked into sourdough. So literally like I'm prepping my sourdough right now. I did not bring it with me because that would just be weird, but it's sitting at home and I'm going to shape it and I'm going to get up tomorrow morning and prep sourdough and we're going to have sourdough for tomorrow night's feast. But along the way, we had to figure out what worked, what was going to help us to be able to step into a day of rest that worked for us. We figured out that it was great to let the kids get up and watch Saturday morning cartoons. It's the one day that we take an opportunity to sleep in. We figured out that we could spend time with some people. Some people we were like, absolutely, we want to spend time with you. We're going to go skating. We're going to go for a hike. But it was just this opportunity to delight in good life-giving relationships and to be able to then explore what God might do for us and in us and through us. It's not always easy. I bounce between moments where I let myself use my phone or I hide my phone in somewhere else in the house where I can't find it. Technology is this thing that we hold in tension. Usually we do find some time to play some Mario Kart because my kids love that and they just find complete joy in that. But it's actually hard to find yourself in a place where you can just stop. And to be able to find some rest, to find a little extra sleep, to give yourself permission to take a nap when the deadlines are there, the list is long. But I just need to point out, it's not necessarily linear, it's on the line. But if you can just get yourself to stop and to delight, you're getting yourself further down the road to just be able to find some rest, to be able to find those moments that God intended for you to spend time with him and be with him. Pete Scazzaro, who writes about emotionally healthy spirituality and living with God, writes this. He says the core spiritual issue in stopping revolves around trust. Will God take care of us and our concerns if we obey him by stopping to keep the Sabbath? And this is where I find myself all the time with a long list of what needs to get done for work or what needs to get done around the house or what I feel like I need to do. We need to be able to trust God in what he's inviting you into. And I get it, like end of semester, now's not the time to be sharing this message of you need to stop and not worry about your list. But consider this. Will God take care of us and our concerns if we obey by stopping to keep the Sabbath? And I get it. I just want to keep saying this again. You don't have to find 24 hours, but can you stop and find an afternoon? Can you stop and find an evening? Can you take this opportunity to just be with God? Because the second half of this is to also encourage you to say that you are created in the image of God to bring. You are created in the image of God as one who's been able to stop and rest and delight and worship so that you can bring your full self to the week ahead. When you work constantly, 7 days a week, 16 hours a day, and you're pushing, and you can push back on this, but I would say you're never actually bringing your full self anywhere. You're constantly running in a place where you're just slightly depleted. You're emotionally tired, so you're maybe a little bit more sarcastic. You're physically tired, so though it's maybe a great conversation, you're falling asleep. You're mentally tired, so you're not thinking straight. You can't actually you've lost bits of your memory. You can't remember the things that you should. Or you're just soul tired. You're just weary. It's just that heaviness that hits you. And I have to say, I was laughing this afternoon because I was there today. I was like, oh man, I'm just kind of done right now. And I get to go out tonight and I get to talk to people about Sabbath. And I'm like, oh, but I need a Sabbath, which is why I'm excited about tomorrow night. But we can find ourselves here where we actually just can't bring enough of ourselves. We can't bring our whole selves. And the reason why I think that that's important is because there are three things that I want us to consider about what we bring. So you're created in the image of God to bring the fruit of the Spirit into your own life. To be able to open yourself up, to experience a fullness, a wholeness of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. These things that God wants to do in your life are done when you're rested, when you've had an opportunity to stop, when you've had an opportunity to focus more about what God is doing in your life and the lives of those around you, through those tests of like, how do I love someone that I really don't want to love? When you find yourself in these moments where you actually have to go beyond what you can do of your own strength and rely on the strength that God's given you through rest. The next one is you are created in the image of God to bring the kingdom of God into other people's lives. That's that fully loving other people, to be able to create opportunities even in class with roommates, with your family, to be able to experience the kingdom of God together. So what is the kingdom of God? It's this place where people have an opportunity to encounter Jesus through you, through what God is doing in you, through the Holy Spirit, to be able to share these moments where the only explanation about how that happened was God at work. Where there's these kingdom moments where it feels a little bit more human, a little bit more of what God designed in your life's experience to be able to share with others. And the last one, you are created in the image of God to bring faith, hope, and love into a waiting world. A.J. Svoboda says this, 6 days a week, we wrestle with the world, wringing profit from earth. But on Sabbath, we especially care for the seed of eternity planted in the soul. The world has our hands, but our souls belong to someone else. It's this opportunity to bring faith, hope, and love into each moment, each interaction with people. Each touch point, when people that you have no relationship with can look at you and see that there's something different. Whether it's somebody that you're interacting with at the grocery store or a stranger that you're walking past on the sidewalk, or someone you pass in the hall, that your presence actually just emits faith, hope, and love to people. Sabbath is this place where rest becomes the great restorer for you. when you find yourself feeling down, when you find yourself feeling like you just need to push through, and to have a moment to be able to stop and find rest, to be able to delight and know that God's doing something new in you because of the celebration that you're experiencing. Our Sabbath experience is always one where we stop to be able to celebrate. For us, we gather around a table, we light some candles, we have, so Sabbath being the Old Testament thing, no Jewish person would ever come to our Sabbath because there's so much cured pork on the table. We have charcuterie. We have a couple loaves of sourdough bread. We feast and we think about what God's going to do in our world in the week ahead. It's a place of gratitude for what he has done. It's a place of hope for what will be. It's a place where we get to call out the best in each other, to be able to pause and acknowledge what God has done in the lives of our kids and in the life of my wife, Bethany, and my life, and an opportunity to hope again. I think that that's what God is calling us into in the days and weeks and months ahead, for a world that models itself after Elon Musk of working 100 hours a week and produce, and put out, and consume, and I think one of the things that we can do is actually stop and create these places of beauty and celebration that set us apart in a way where somebody walks away after having experienced a moment of rest with you and they go, I want more of that. And it's only then one more step to go, we rest at the feet of Jesus, knowing that he is the one doing a good thing in us and pushing and pointing us forward. Sabbath, when lived, is our means as a people of God to bear witness to the way we understand life, its rhythms, its gifts, its meaning, and its ultimate purpose in God. So I want to be able to pray for you. I want you to be able to engage in a couple questions, and I'll hang around if you have questions that you want to ask about Sabbath. But I just want to encourage you. Sabbath is this opportunity to be so that then you can turn and bring something that's fresh and new to a world that doesn't want to be able to stop and doesn't want to be able to delight in what God's doing. So would you let me pray for you? God, I thank you. I thank you that we can even have this conversation. Though Sabbath might feel foreign for people, I pray that you would just continue to stir something in us that helps us be aware of where we could stop, where we could rest, where we could find joy. I pray that we'd be able to hear your voice, and if we think we can't stop, that you would point out where the opportunities are. God, I pray protection over everyone who's listening, that they wouldn't actually get to the point where you have to stop them, where they get burnt out, where they get exhausted. I pray that your spirit would just stir something new, that would speak clearly, and that we would have this opportunity to just know who you've created us to be, how you've purposed us, and that you'd encourage us in what we can bring to the world around us. Be with everybody tonight as they talk, as they question, as they consider. In Jesus' name, amen.